to be inspired. Or you give us the vote. You could be inspired and inspired. If you're not prepared, you don't know what's coming your way. Sometimes you can get it from a child. A child makes a comment, the child gets smiling. Now you're thinking about it. A lot of people walk around like this. They're all like apprehensive. And yet, it's a Yom Tov. Tzaddikim are, they're so baruyig, they're so, I think it's because they're connected in that they're serving Hashem. And if you're with Hashem, what's there to worry about? Like a connection. But I didn't even notice it. My 3-year-old had to point it out to me. And then I took another look. I said, yeah, no, you're right. It's not because he's going home to eat a suda. The enjoyment of being together with a tzibur. And mechazik, the tzibur, is tremendous to see it. You know, sometimes you hear people get up and they fire a brimstone before tekiya shofar. That's it. We're all doomed. Forget about it. Don't even bother. You know, you'll be lucky if you get to see Gehenna. Right? And that's one approach. And I, believe it or not, haven't been exposed in a personal way to like the big moistest, big yeshivas. But I came from in America. It was a small little place. So we were always more of the easier track. Let's just, for lack of a better word. Here I was in this yeshiva, and the yeshiva spoke.
In the mirror.
And the yeshiva spoke for 5 minutes. Both days. So the first day he spoke, so I couldn't hear him. My sons climbed over the benches. They were able to get close enough. They reported back to me that I was waiting to hear some, you know, just how hot the Gehenna really is. So I was waiting to hear what somebody said. He spoke about how Klal Yisrael was zecher to mekabel the Torah because they reached the madrega of Kesh Echad B'Lev Echad. It was unity, Achdus. And he said, it's not only to be mekabel the Torah like that, it's anything that has to do with Kedusha. And the Yom HaDin is no different than you're going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The biggest thing we have going for us is that we're going as a Klal. And he spoke about that topic of being a Klal and how that works in our stead in helping us have a Zikri Adin. We can merit to a good year. So, all right. So I was thinking maybe that's because it's the first day. The second day, then he's really going to have it. Sure enough, the second day he spoke again. Nothing to do with the Musa Shabbat. It was basically how special we are that we have the Torah. It was like Chizuk through, it was Musa through Chizuk. It was like encouragement, and it was like, it gave me a certain, you live and you learn. So I was here on a learning expedition. I sometimes felt like a little bit of a tourist. I just had left my camera at home. But the Maisa, by the end of Yom Tov, I felt like I fit in. I felt like that. Beginning, I was like a little bit out of my league because I was not used to dealing with the crowds and all the gedolim. I was just was like, I was a little, like I just felt like not comfortable, whatever. I don't know what the right word is. But it grows in you. You go to do tashach, and there's like hundreds of chassidish and rabbanim and the rosh yeshivas, and everybody's together. Experience I never had. But we'll see soon tonight that I missed the boat also. But the Gemara says we're holding the Nalef. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down on Tzadik Beis Amud Beis. The last word on the line. The Nalef. So the Gemara had just said that a Gedolim, Tzadikim, are not going to go back, are going to come out the way they were buried, and they're not going to go back to dust. They won't re-die, so to speak. So we just learned. So the Gemara has a question on that. Now Yecheskel also, at a certain period, did Tchias HaMesim on certain people. And over there, the ones that Yecheskel brought back to life over there, they like we died, so to speak. They didn't stay forever. So the Gemara asked, how do you know that Tzadikim stayed around forever? Maybe you could learn that from Yecheskel, the ones that were in Chayim Esim there, that they did it. And the Gemara continues to explain. The answer is because what happened by Yecheskel was really a mushal. The Tanya of Elazar Emma Mason, Shachaye Yecheskel, Amdu Araglaim, Amu Shira Umason. They talk and got up, they said Shira and they died. Ma Shira Amu, what was the Shira that they said? So Hashem, Mamis, Betzedek, Umachaye Barachim. Hashem is Mamis, Betzedek, he kills with righteousness. And he's Machaya with mercy. But the bottom line is that it was a mushal to say that people who die are going to have Tchias HaMesim, like Yecheskel, they came back to life. Like that Tchias HaMesim. Now it's true, they didn't last forever, but it was a mushal. And therefore you don't learn from Yecheskel to Al Gemara. And Gemara has a problem. How do you say MS and Moshel? It seems to be contradictory in terms. If it's MS, then it's not a Moshel. So Gemara explains that. MS Moshel, MS Lama Moshel. Moshel Lama MS. How do both those two things work? It's one or the other. Gemara answers, Ella be MS Moshel Haya. That be MS was a Moshel. Now, it means to say that you can't learn out from Yecheskel to what Tchias HaMesim is going to be like by Tzadikim. It was unique to the situation by Yecheskel. What happened over there was whatever the Cheshbonis were over there. Now, what happened? What was an example of the people that had Tchias HaMesim? So Yomar explains, Lez b'noit yoyesek lilo yom ha-mesim she'echi Yecheskel ol le'ritzo v'nos ha-shem alir v'bono v'bonois they went there to show on their children. And the Omer of Yidim and Messiah, Al Ragla of Omer, Anib Nebenam. I'm from the descendants of those people. That my great great grandfather was one of the people that were given Tchias HaMesim. Alo Tzvila Tcheniachli Avi Abba. Man. And these are the Tfilin that the great grandfather gave me. Oman Niu, Mesim Shechi Cheslan. Who were these people? So I'm a Rav El Bnei Ephraim. These are the descendants of Ephraim. Shemanu Leketz V'Tol. Rashi explains the whole situation over here, that they made a mistake in how long we were supposed to be enslaved in Egypt. They started counting from the Bithman of Sarim instead of from... Rashi Shulhayulam Limnais Gezeiro Avodim V'Ino Yisam Elam Mishanur L'Yitzchak. From the birth of Yitzchak, and they counted from the Bithman of Sarim, which was prior to that 30 years. So they left early, and they were killed. Okay? Shanema, Bnei Ephraim, Shiselach, Chabarad, Bnei Vitzachas, Bnei Ve'alada, Bnei Vitzachas, Bnei Zeved, Bnei Shiselach, Bnei Ve'ezer, Ve'alada, depending if you skip the parentheses, Ve'alad, Ve'hargum, Anche, Gath, Anoildim, Ba'oretz. And it says, Ve'yis'abel, Ephraim, Abim, Yom, and Rabim. That Ephraim was mourning that they got killed. So, they left early. Rashi goes through the whole thing, and they were killed. Plus, it is many shemnei Ephraim hein yotz sheyotzu kaidim zmanam v'nehergu. They were killed by these people because they left too early. Now, the Maisa, we see from the Gemara here that this situation is not able to be used as a limut to Al Gemara before. Because he was using it as a marshal to say that, look, there's going to be tzchiasanation. Just like the rest of the tzchiasanation. But not that all tzaddikim and tzchiasanation are going to be shoveled off. It's not true. You had the Gemara before that spoke about how they're going to be hovering, they'll be given wings, they'll fly around during the time in between. Because it was like in between the destruction of the world and when Akash level brings back Olam Haba. So Mela, the Tzaddikim are Taka going to be in the matzah that they were when they died. You can't learn from Yechezkel anything different. That's the Gemara. Then we can keep going, but I think we should stop there now. I was discussing it for a few minutes tonight. This is discussed in Yom Diyama for Yom Kippur and a better understanding, a little bit of Yom Kippur maybe, off the page. Doesn't have to do with the Gemara Sanhedrin. Why not? I think it's a good idea. We're not going to be getting together Wednesday. Wednesday you'll be learning about the Yud Gimel Midos, those of you who come to that year. But let's talk in general about the whole concept of tefillah. Spend the whole day doing tefillah. So I figured it's a good opportunity to talk a little bit about what is tefillah. Now, tefillah has a double aspect to it. The tefillah that we're the most used to, that we're comfortable, that we're familiar with, is that we daven for the things we need. And we ask Hashem to give us this, we need this, give us that. And we intersperse thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the different things that Hashem has done and Hashem is going to do. But that's the tefillah that we're like, quote, more familiar with. And the truth of the matter is that is a very important aspect of tefillah. I was by the Mir Yeshiva for Rosh Hashanah, and the Olam, the Rebbetzin, is not well, Rebbetzin Pratovitz, and right before Tekiah Shaykh, for 15 minutes, they said Tillim on Rosh Hashanah. That's the first time in my life I'd ever experienced that. But I'll tell you something, the Tillim sounded differently than a regular Tuesday night. We were saying the same Kippitla, but it's... So that is the tefillah we are the most familiar with, let's be honest. But then there's another inyan of tefillah. And that is that the tefillah itself, the lashon is, hatfila heina matara la'atzma. Tefillah is a thing, mitzad atzmusa. It's something that we do, mitzad it. Mitzad tefillah itself had nothing to do with what we're asking for. There's an inyan of being mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it happens to be v'atzoris bo'is la'olam kedei la'hovi et ha'adam la'tefillah. The things that come that coerce us into davening are there because we're not davening. And that's what he says, V'alavai sho yo'odim mispal tamid v'kacho yechisich me'atzmi tzer Shabbos. This is one of Rav Avigdor Miller's famous, he has many famous things, but why wait till a person's sick? Why should the guy wait till he's sick to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tarifu Shalem, when every single day he could thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for making it not necessary for me to be mispalo for a refuah shleima?
For a specific person or for yourself?
Anybody. Each individual. It's the same thing with everything like that. If today we have what we need, right? And we could dive into Hashem, tomorrow's business meeting should work out. That's one malach. Another malach could be is, Hashem, thank you for taking care of me today. We're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're cognizant of the fact that yesterday you also took care of us. And tefillah is our vehicle in conversing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we would use tefillah and understand tefillah as being an opportunity to talk with Hashem, one of the things we talk about are the things we need. And we ask Hashem like a child, asks the father, we need this and this, please can we have it? But the MS, tefillah itself, is a very important zach to know you're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaim in the Sefer says that there are two aspects to tefillah. One is pirush hamilos, to understand the definition of the words. We all know that the halacha of Shulchan Aruch is clear, it's unambiguous, that as long as you know the translation of the first pasuk in Shemoneh Esrei, so you're good to go. But the Yeved, you are Yaitza. There's another aspect, and that is to remember that you're in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're davening to Hashem. And that has to be carried out through the entire davening in order to be Yaitza. And if you forget that you're by Hashem, so then your tefillah wasn't good, according to Reb Chaim. There's a lot of halachas that they prove because of this, you know, principle that Reb Chaim says in the Sefer. But Ramaisa, there is this concept by us that tefillah, we count the davening three times a day, we don't even think about it. We really don't think about it. I took a little poll in the last 24 hours. We don't really stop to think on a regular basis that we're being spalled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we really stop to think about it now we're going to go have Yom Kippur. You know why we're having Yom Kippur? Because last year we had Yom Kippur, and the year before, because every year we know that on the 10th day of Tishrei you got to daven because it's the Chesimus Adin. But the concept of what tefillah really is, we're missing it, and we're missing it in a very big way. And if we would stop to think about it, there's so much in davening that we don't even understand. I tell you a case in point, but there's a million of these examples. It's a little bit unfortunate, but we daven in Slichus. Now, some of us have to go to work, and sometimes our Slichus is a little bit in the Kvish Mahir, where you're taking the fast lane, because you got to finish up. And even the ones who are doing it slow, just trying to read the tongue twisters. We have to read the words. If we read the words, and we're not denying them, forget about trying to understand the definition of what it means. I'm going to read you a pasuk. You say it in Slichas. It's one of the things we say. Leibah chesed v'leibah ma'asim banu lefanecha. Kedal mucharoshim dafaknu delasecha. Now we all know this line. We say it by Shema Tzila Decha, right before Shema Kileinu over there, right? Now let's read the words again. Now I don't know about you, but when I was working on figuring out how we should discuss, the reason why I'm discussing tefillah banners is because it's so fundamental in Yom Kippur. Yeah, everybody's going to talk about tshuva. Everybody's going to talk about achet. Everybody's going to talk about, you're going to hear that in your sleep, you're going to hear it. And the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha, you might have heard it. But we forget that there's a concept called davening, tefillah. So I wanted to back up and talk about the fundamental concept, because we still have a few days in our Seder Shemayim Tshuvah that we can do tefillah. And if we do that tefillah, that will help us get more prepared. But what do these words mean? We read them, and we might even look at the translation. I realized today, I didn't know what I was reading. Loi b'chesed v'loi b'masim banu lefanecha. Not with chesed, and not with my good deeds, my ma'isim, am I coming before you? Kedalim u'chiroshim d'afaknu d'lasecha. Like a dal and a kroshim, I'm knocking down your doors. I'm banging on your doors. Okay? Now it repeats, and then it says, Kedal Choshen Dafaknu Dalasecha, Dalasecha Dafaknu Rakum Machanun, and I knocked on your doors, Barakam Vachanan, no, please don't turn me away empty. So what's going on over here? Lamaisa, if you really think about it for a second, and Rav Chatzko in his Chaven Yecheskel asks, it's the opposite of what we always thought. If we're not coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of his chesed, or the maisim that we did, or whatever, so be'ezus chusanim of action. What are we coming with? We're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask Hashem to do for us, right? But we're not coming because of we want you to, we did chesed and we want you to have chesed. What were you saying? Huh? Oh, so we ask you for a handout, right? So now says the Chazon Yecheskel that there are two ways. You're very good. That's exactly the shot. That we're not even trying to make believe that anything's coming to us. We got it clear that nothing is coming to us. But yet we still want. Right? So we're basically coming Kedal Mechroshim. And we'll see what that means in a minute. But basically it means we're coming for a freebie. That's what it means. So now let's understand what that means. What does that mean we're coming for a freebie? If I came to you for a freebie, you'd throw me out of my head. And if you did it once for me, and I came year after year after year for a freebie, you'd get fed up. So what are we really doing? So says Rav Chatzko, there are two ways to come for a handout. I thought there was only one way. But he says there are really two different kinds of ani. There are two different mahalchim. He says there's one ani who lemaisa, he just doesn't have anything. He just doesn't have. And a little bit he was left for an inheritance. He was coming, he was like walking up and the place blew up, burned to the ground. The guy's left with nothing. Ephes. He's got nothing. To no fault of his own that you could really see, the guy has nothing. Finished. That's one kind of ani. And if he comes and he knocks on your door, he's going to be received a certain way. Like we see in life, unfortunately, where there are sometimes tragedies that happen. I remember where I lived in New York, on the first night of Pesach, a friend of mine's house burned down. Because the tenant upstairs, a single mother went out to eat a suda. She left her candles on, but somehow something happened because they were probably in pajamas in the middle of the night. Someone kept kicking the doors down and they were outside in pajamas because the house was on fire at 1 o'clock in the morning. They had just finished the seder and they went to sleep. And suddenly they were outside and the house was gone. All they had were their pajamas. That's it. They realized what it was. They had pajamas. They didn't have the shirt on the back. But it was the first night of Pesach. And now they had a couple more days of they're going to go to school in pajamas. It's a major problem. So someone went to the Rav who was either finishing his seder, or had finished it already, ready to call it a night, and told the Rav of this particular shul with these guys daven that there's a situation where we have three families, a three family house, and they got nothing. And what do we do now? So the Rav knew somebody in Borough Park, 20 minutes away from here, who owns, it's called English Basics, it's a clothing store for children. He owns a store. So he's done fairly, he had a big store. And they took a walk over at 1:30 in the morning to this guy's house. They were selling the store. And they knocked on the guy's door. And until they woke him up, they came down, and you wouldn't believe it. They said they would like to know if they could have the key, they want to go shopping in their store. Now, if it would have been anybody else but the Rav, they would have thought they were having to be a dream. Too much wine to drink. But the Maisa, they realized there was a problem, so they got dressed and they came out to their store and they opened up their store. This is at 2 o'clock in the morning on Pesach night. And the mothers went shopping. couple of these, a couple of those. How much, what am I allowed to take? Take whatever you need. Don't even discuss it. Just take whatever you need. Finish. And they took underwear and socks and this and everything that the kids need. And outfits, yontif outfits, nicer outfits, they never would have forgiven themselves to buy. You have to realize. English Basics is a very high-class store. And they have, can I have nine children. So they walked away with a shabby car full of clothing. Okay? And then, of course, the Rav had to go to the next guy who lives a few blocks away to open up COVID, the hat store, and they went for ships. They were shopping for hats. And yada, the shoe store, until 4 or 5 in the morning, they did all their shopping. There was one guy they couldn't get in touch with, he didn't get the door or whatever it was, for shoes, I think, for the ladies or something. That they didn't get until 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock. They met them coming out of shul, going to shul. They went and said, forget shul, come, we're going to your shul. That's called an oni. Has nothing. And the end of the story, the post-script, you should just know, is when Matzah Yontif, they came to pay for it, every single one of these people would not take a penny. You just had your whole house burned down. You have nothing but what we gave you. It's the biggest chus we could ever have. You don't get more truth darker than that. And they weren't going to give up on that. And each one of them, not knowing that the other one was involved. This one had the children's store, this is in the men's store, the ladies' store, the shoe store. Each one had their own thing. And each one, they didn't end up having to pay for a penny. You know, Mikam Chisro, we don't have this anywhere else. But that's an oni. That when they come, they delasecha defaknu. Racham Echanan is pretty easy. Right? That's one oni. Then there's another oni, says the Chatzko. And he says like this. Says, this guy, Ulam Yesh Oni Ashuba Asmi Chaibani Yusin Lamashal. He explains what he explains. The guy has. He has something. That means he either has it, or he has the ability to go get it, or it's being offered to him. In other words, there is an out to get something. He might still be a little bit of an owner, but he'll have something. But instead, he goes, and Rav Chatzko says this lashon, shichak the klofer. He goes, he gambles it. Goes to, you know, someplace where it's gambling is legal, and he gambles it. Or, he explains, he spent it on frivolous things. He needs to have three cars, he needs to have the latest, you know, art, piece of art, the latest whatever. But he's poor. Because the truth of the matter is, the guy, he doesn't have that much money. He just, there are certain things he has to get, and he gets it. This is another oni. That he's just misappropriating, he's just not doing with his resources what he should be doing. Okay? 1 o'clock in the morning comes and there's a knock at your door. I know I have three pairs of shoes, but I have to get that one that's in the window in your store window, storefront. I gotta go to shul with that one tomorrow. You slam the door. Or maybe it's closing slowly. But that's all the Racham Echanan you're gonna have. You won't call a cop on it. Maybe. Says Rav Chatzko. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Play b'chesed, play b'maaseh. That's the Yoni who's coming and saying, look, I really got nothing. Give me it. Like, we're coming, Kedal Mechroshim. Kedal Mechroshim is a lashon of, he brings down the Pesukim over here to talk about it. It's a lashon it's more than a handout. It's coming for a handout after we've been given a million handouts and haven't used it right. That's how you should say it. Okay, that's what it is. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us so much. Okay, we're not feeling well one day. Without it, I said to me, I can feel better. Now, Hashem comes and says, look, yesterday you were feeling good. Did you go out to learn? No. You were busy listening to the news or doing good as well. So, You want to feel better so you can go learn. You had the opportunity yesterday. You know what? I'll let you have it. A week later, same thing happens again. You got to keep replaying the tape. So we're coming in for such a handout that, you know, it's really, it's the lowest level of handout. Basically, that's what it is. Now, we have to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no al tishivin rikam lefunach. Now, how did that work? How does it work? So, Shimshon Zikas in the Sefer says an interesting thing. I want to spell it too, or maybe I can help us out. It's an interesting phenomenon that we find that Shachris on Yom Kippur, we come to Kol Nidrei Ma'ariv and we're really full of energy. A lot of us stand most of the time, daven. Next morning comes, we start Shachris off a little tired because we're missing our morning coffee, but Lamaisa, we daven like a half a mensch. Mutzav comes and the Chazan gets up there and he says, in the honey, you get a little bit of the goosebumps. But by halfway through Mutzav, we're goners. We're wiped out. Mincha is optional. I don't mean it like that, but we're wiped. We're totally wiped. Now, if you would go and just continue playing that tape, the scenario should be that Nila should be a cemetery. It should be silent. It should be sure half of us have our heads down. The other half should be wishing we had our heads down. Because if you just continue along that, but what ends up happening is that when you find that we start asking Yisrael Yisrael for Nila, suddenly we found like we have some more gas in the tank. What happened? Where was it? And it comes out that it's even with a bigger sharkite than the Myers right after we finished eating. Now we're starving. An hour or two ago, we were ready to pass out. And we get up there by Nila, and we're like going strong. So the cynics, the people who like to make fun, the latesim, they always have the joke, it's because we're excited the day's almost over. But latesana achas is dechemeh techachas. So therefore you can't, but you'll hear that constantly. But when you really think about it, it needs a pshat. Why is it that we woke up? We have energy now that we didn't have at the beginning of the day. And the answer is, clearly, because we all realize that time's almost up. Or we push the envelope, okay, but now time's almost up. So we get a chaperein. What happens? We become more in touch with the gravity of the situation. It becomes more real to us. And we might even start kicking ourselves, hey, why was I so foolish 3 hours ago? I should have been davening with that same koyach. The terrence is that we have to tune ourselves in to that at 6 in the morning, at 8 in the morning, at 2 in the afternoon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there waiting for us. And we can't say that, I can't, I'm hungry, I'm tired. Because if that was true, at 5 o'clock when it comes to Ne'ila, we wouldn't be able to do it either. It has to be more real to us. And he brings that a marshal from the Chafetz Chaim. Very interesting marshal, I don't know what time it is. So he brings out a marshal, and this marshal I think will help us go into Yom Kippur the right way. It says like this. He brings out a Zohar, a famous Zohar, that talks about how we scream out HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur to klovim, like a dog. It's a lashon. It's brought down. And he explains that he tries to explain What does it mean? It means like this. His lashon is that halavai, at least we're calling out like dogs. Meaning like this. The lawyer, what are we davening to Hashem for? He's such a beautiful, the Chafetz Chaim is so We're mevakesh for our tracha. We want Hashem to give us a good year, a healthy year. Good children. We should have children. Find shidduchim for our children. Everything that we want. Parnasa. We want things. We need things. We ask Hashem for this, right? But how many times on Yom Kippur do we ask? And get out your monitors and take a look. Do we ask for that the golus should end, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to be back in Yerushalayim HaKadosh with Mashiach, with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, to Mehiva be Amen. How many times do we look for what Hashem needs? We're asking for what we need. We're not asking for what Hashem needs. A kelev doesn't care what the Mishnah needs. Cares what it wants. And it asks for food. Said to Chavetz Chaim, there was a melech, a marshal, and he sent his son to a faraway land just to keep an eye on the underlings that they're staying in line with their loyalty. And then after many, many months, the king comes to visit just to check up on the situation. And the son comes over. And everybody's lined in the streets. And the son comes over and he says to the king, "Look, Daddy, I'm having a hard time here with Panasa. Could you at least send a check every once in a while to keep me going?" And the king looks at him and says, "You don't need me to send you money? You have a whole palace waiting. You could just come home. I didn't tell you you have to stay. I told you to come check it up and report back. You didn't come, so I came to check on you. Come back home. You have everything you want." Says the Chavetz Chaim, if the Mashiach would come and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah would not be in Golus and we would come back home, we wouldn't have to ask for anything because everything we needed would be there. But what are we doing? We're being like the Kelah. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Oh, give us a parnasa. Ask for the Mashiach, you'll have your parnasa." No, I can't. Bigger people than me ask for Mashiach, and they didn't get it. And that's a cheshbon, right? Bigger people ask. So he says, you might make such a cheshbon. Yeah? Right?
Are we supposed to ask for Mashiach Zehu, and we'll get parnasa? Or are we supposed to ask for
the
Mashiach
is,
in the meantime until he comes?
So he explains. That's the point. So he goes on to explain, because of this taina, that we might think, hey, bigger people want to ask for it. So the word is, you want to daven for your needs, because that creates a certain spotless that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very good thing. But the problem is, that's all we're davening. We're not davening for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tzar that Hashem is experiencing by being in Golos is a lot greater than any tzar we're having. We're just not in tune with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like not having the Beis HaMikdash more than us. That was where his name was able to be Melech Malchim Lachim Yidda Kapol Kiyata Bialta. You haven't called Yitzhak Kiyata Yitzhak, why? Ubechente Pachtacha. What is the whole davening? Ubechente Pachtacha, Ubechente Pachtacha. What does it all mean? You look in the English, it tells you what. They were saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring back the Mashiach. The davening, what is the whole davening? It's for that. But we're not tuned in. What we're doing is we're zooming through Ubechente Pachtacha. And then we're taking our time for Achetz. 4 hours of clapping Achetz. But Ubechente Pachtacha took us 30 seconds. We knocked it out. The first three paragraphs gone. Now what are the first three paragraphs? They're asking for Mashiach to come. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to be V'moschav Kol Ma'aseh Barasa V'yuchal Kol Ma'asim. That's only Shaykh when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Mashiach and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. Did we stop to think about it? No, we translated the words. But that was the Yikka. Because if we would get that, then all of our Tzorachim would fall into place. And that's the most important thing. And that's why we're a little bit like fools. Because we're missing the main, and we're getting, he says, and that's where he says, sometimes we run around to tzaddikim for brachas. This is what I'm saying, I missed the boat, because I got a lot of brachas from my kids. I want my kids in Yerushalayim, a lot of gedolim over Hashanah tzaddikim. And he says, if you'd stop running, and start talking to Hashem a little bit more, you might do better. Now, if you use the tzaddik to connect to Hashem, it's okay. That's a very good idea. But don't use the tzaddik instead of Hashem. That's not the eitzah. You know what I'm saying? But Lamaisha, this is what we have to keep in mind. If we create such a matzav that we go to Yom Kippur realizing what tefillah is, it's an inyan itself. Mitzad itself to daven to Hashem to ask for the things that we need. Our whole davening is going to be different. We're going to feel like we're talking to Hashem one-on-one in the conversation. Instead of like, you know, we're like way back in the bleachers and we're yelling out hoping that maybe he hears something. We'll feel like the davening is much more real to us. We'll feel much, and then what will happen is, when you're davening Shmoneh Esrei by Mincha, you'll be davening it with the same koyach that you did Shachris, like Mincha and Mila, and it'll all be the same. You look at the Gedolim, and you watch the way they daven. I have a Rebbe in mind in New York. His Shmoneh Esrei or Mincha takes him straight to the end of Mila. It's only Mincha. It's a tefillah to Hashem. I'm talking to Hashem. The Shmoneh Esrei has the same words in it. So our kriches and our energies shouldn't even play a role at all if we understood the real erech, the worth of what tefillah really is. We're losing out an opportunity. It's another tefillah we can connect. So at least take a keta, take a little part of L'chein Tein Pachta, a little bit, look it over. And this way, when Yom Kippur comes, yes, we're going to clap al chayt, but we're going to make sure to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need Mashiach now, so that your name will reign supreme, and the whole world will know, and that all of my needs will be much, much easier to take care of, because when Mashiach comes, there aren't going to be the daggers of Parnassah that you have now. We'll be in much better shape. Problem is, we're not being mavakish, we're not asking for it. Ava bishi yismameya, inkel zeh, v'chol yeyim achakaloi, we want it, but are we really asking? And here we have the whole Shmoneh Esrei, as miyusir, v'chein tein b'achtarach, but we zoom through it to get to the end part. Let's not be like the kelev in the mashal of the Chavad Chaim, like the Zohar says. Let's be the chacham, and daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the meat and potatoes. And we'll get the side dishes, we'll get everything else. And Beth Hashem, my bracha to you is that you should have a zikiyah din, a shanatoy masuka, that you should talk to having Yom Kippur where you walk away feeling, I did mine. Because bracha always has to do chesed for us. We can't live with this idea. We need the midas of chesed. But the ma'aseh, Beth Hashem, we're definitely going to be more in tune. And my bracha is that you should taka have an aliyah on Yom Kippur, that your tefillah should be oila, taka yishbrochu, and we shouldn't even need it. Mashiach should be here before that.
Amen.
And we should be able to daven by the Beis Hamikdash from here. Amen. Kimitz Hashem, we're going to be off now for a little while because of Sunday and Wednesday don't work out. So even though next Sunday technically could work out after Yom Kippur, I don't know what everybody's doing with the sukkahs and the lulav and the asherahs and the adas and the ends. If they're going way beyond it, they're not going way beyond it. So I think the best thing to do is to reconvene. When does Yom Tov end? Thursday night. So it's Friday and Shabbos. So we could get together the Sunday night, right after, unless people go away, it's still Ben Hazmanim, but everybody here is working. Mm-hmm. So nothing changes, but you're back to work on Sunday, no? Mm-hmm. Yes, let's meet together again. What's today, Sunday? So it's not next week, Sunday. It's not the week after Sunday. It's 3 weeks from tonight, correct? So Sunday after Sukkot, we'll get together again. Okay? I think...